This is WHYY's Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Lin. The Pennsylvania primary election is a week from Tuesday, and there are several intensely contested primaries in our region. WHYY senior reporter Dave Davies has been following the races and following the money, and he joins me to talk about the role of super PACs in influencing some key races. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Jen.
Dave, super PACs have been making headlines during political campaigns in recent years, but would you still walk us through how they differ from regular campaign committees?
Right. Well, the big difference is that when a candidate's campaign committee, you know, the Jennifer for Congress committee, raises money, its contributions are subject to strict dollar limits. It's $2,700 for an individual, no more. That's because the federal campaign law is intended to limit the influence of big money in our elections. Super PACs were created by Supreme Court decisions, particularly Citizens United, which said people who want to support candidates in a big way can do that by forming committees which can accept unlimited donations and spend as much as they want as long as they are truly independent of the candidates they support.
So they can't coordinate campaign strategies with candidates who they like running the same TV ads.
Right.
Well, do the super PACs in these races abide by that restriction?
Well, there's a question about it. We learned that one candidate in the Delaware County congressional race, Ashley Lunkenheimer, is supported by a super PAC funded by her mother, Molly Shepard, who, by the way, is a big supporter of this station and a former board chair of WHYY. You know, I was interested in the question of whether a campaign could be truly independent of a super PAC funded by a parent of the candidate who's clearly interested enough in her daughter's campaign to contribute, but is not presumably discussing strategy with her. When I had heard last week that the candidate's mom might be funding the super PAC, I left a message at her office. That call was returned by, guess who, the campaign manager of her daughter's campaign.
Who she's not supposed to be coordinating with.
Exactly. And there's an interesting kind of choreography that you can observe between the campaign and the super PAC and the way they've done media. Lunkenheimer's campaign is running television ads but is not sending direct mail, which congressional campaigns typically do. The super PAC is only doing mailings and no TV.
Okay. Well, what do the campaigns and Ms. Shepard have to say about this?
Well, the candidate and the campaign have said in statements that they follow the rules and they don't coordinate strategies with the super PAC. But I wanted to share a moment from a debate just about a week ago, broadcast on WURD radio, in which a member of the audience was pressing Ashley Lunkenheimer to say who is funding her super PAC. And she responded by saying three donors told her they wanted to do more to help her and that by design she can't know any more about their efforts.
I do not know at that point exactly what they've chosen to fund exactly. That's, there are laws there. Look, I will talk to them. It comes out on May 3rd. I understand before the election that will be publicly revealed.
Now, it was surprising to me, Jennifer, to hear her say she knew of these donors. I don't think you typically hear a candidate say that. But what I think you can hear in her discomfort is the fact that she, like other candidates in this primary, are all progressive Democrats who don't like Citizens United, who believe in campaign finance reform, but this is their one shot to win, and they're going to do what they can with the system we have.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lunkenheimer is not the only candidate being helped by a super PAC, right?
Oh, yeah. In fact, by far the biggest spending super PAC in the region is supporting another candidate in her race, Rich Laser. That super PAC has spent over $500,000 already on advertising, more than six times the reported spending of the Lunkenheimer super PAC. And the big donor to that super PAC is Local 98 of the Electricians Union, which, another disclosure here, happens to represent the engineers here at WHYY. And in that case, also, all parties say there's no coordination. But Laser knows these labor leaders well. He worked with them as Mayor Jim Kenney's deputy mayor for labor here in Philadelphia. And in fact, the candidate's wife used to work for the Electricians Union. So there's relationships everywhere you turn. And that super PAC, by the way, is running ads with nice video shot by the campaign that they're not supposed to be coordinating with. The campaign posted that video on YouTube for anyone who might find it useful.
Dave, what about the role of Emily's List?
Right. They fund a super PAC that supports pro-choice Democratic women and have spent almost $200,000 supporting two other candidates in the region, Rachel Reddick and Madeline Dean, in congressional races. I mean, they don't have these personal relationships that the other two do.
Dave, these super PACs are supposed to be independent. Does anyone regulate this? Do they investigate to see if they're coordinating? Are there any fines being levied?
Well, the job is left to the Federal Election Commission, but it's evenly divided between Republicans and Democrats, and they have trouble agreeing on anything and thus have trouble enforcing anything. And really, Jennifer, the kinds of things we've talked about here are pretty commonplace in federal elections. Not city elections, by the way, where the City Ethics Board has imposed some really tough rules on coordination. But in federal races, unless the super PAC and the campaign plot strategy together in public, maybe on a Facebook Live video, really nothing is going to happen. A rival campaign might suspect something is wrong and file a complaint with the Federal Election Commission, but nothing would happen until months after the election is over. So in federal elections, there are almost no rules that really matter.